He told them, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." He pointed out that to really talk with God, you need a one-on-one location without the distractions. Without the distractions of the world around us and the things going on. We need to emphasize the relationship between us and God and not the words that we use. And we need to avoid the temptation to put our prayers on display to others as a way to look better in their eyes instead of actually communing with God. And next we learn that we need to start our praise and worship to God, start with our praise and worship to God. We start with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Or as we might say today, "God, you're awesome." We need to have the right perspective and the understanding that God is deserving of all of our praise and adoration. That God lets us speak to him about the things going on in our lives, if you think about it, is really beyond, kind of beyond belief. God of the universe listens to me. Now that is awesome. And then we learn to submit to God with, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You often reflect, what a world we would experience if God's will was done here as it is in heaven. No hate, no tears, no evil, just limitless love for God and one another. And then we learn that we don't need to spend a lot of time telling God what we want, because he already knows. He's just waiting for us to talk to him about it. But prayer isn't about getting stuff. It's about glorifying God and submitting to his will and direction for our lives. Today, we're going to visit this prayer again in the 11th chapter of Luke, and I think we'll learn a few things that we might not have really considered. We read, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.'" Now, we don't know if this was before or after the teaching in Matthew chapter 6 that we've already studied, but Jesus responded to this disciple with a slightly different version of the prayer in Matthew. He said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" That's very short and succinct, but it covers all the bases for the disciples and for us. First, we give glory to God the Father. Hallowed be your name. We acknowledge his greatness, his position of authority, his rule over our lives. And then we cry out for God's kingdom to come to us. Whenever I look at the world around us, I pray for God's kingdom to come. I see the evil in the world, like the depraved killer in Norway a couple of weeks ago. I ask God to send his kingdom now. Please, God. How much more of this can we stand? How many more examples of Satan's work do we need to see to know that only God can change this? Like David in the Old Testament, I sometimes cry out, "Where are you, God? Let thy kingdom come, please." But I'm getting off on a tangent here. Let's go back to where we were. Next, we ask for those things that we need, such as food for ourselves and our families, the necessities of life that God already knows we need. And then we hit the hard part. We acknowledge that we have sinned. Of course, God already knew that we'd sinned and what sin we'd committed. So it's no surprise to him, but telling God about all the things I shouldn't have done but did, I'm not sure I want to do that. And even more, I have to forgive the people who have done things to me that I don't like or hurt me in some way in order for the circle to be complete. I'm forgiven because I have forgiven. It does bring the reality of life to the center of our attention. We are not perfect, and neither is anyone else. So forgiveness is the only thing we can hope for. Us and everyone else. Christ died on the cross for the remission of everybody's sin. He was the price of atonement. If God can send Jesus to die for each and every one of us, if he can demonstrate that kind of limitless love, can't we accept in return some of that love to those we've been damaged by? And finally, we ask for God's help in avoiding the pitfalls of daily life. The temptations of the world around us that give us the reason to ask for his forgiveness in the first place. And the end result is that we might do his will and not our own. You know, that's a lot to cover in a 34-word prayer. But then Jesus goes on to tell a story that at first seems a little bit out of place. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now what's with this? In the middle of the night, a friend goes to his buddy and tells him to get up and give him some bread so that he can feed a visitor that's arrived unexpectedly. The buddy says, no way! I'm already in bed. My kids and my wife are already in bed. I can't just jump up and get you stuff in the middle of the night. Come on. But the friend outside keeps knocking on the door. And eventually his buddy does get up and get him some bread. Not because he really wants to, but because of the friend's perseverance. Because of his boldness. When the first response was go away, he continued to ask. Can we see the message here? A little later in Luke, in chapter 18, Jesus tells a story about an unrighteous judge and a widow. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice. And quickly. Now the message of these chapters is persevere. Don't give up. If what you're asking for is important, if it's something you really need, keep asking. Maybe God wants to find out if you're serious about what you're asking for. If you're in real need, you know, he wants to know if you're real in the need that you're telling him about, or if you're just bouncing ideas on and off the prayer list. And if you're serious, and if you're asking for the right reasons, God will honor your prayer. How do I know this? Well, let's read on in Luke 11 at verse 9. As Jesus continues to preach on prayer, it says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So here we go. We go to our private place. We first glorify God in all his majesty and power. We plead for his kingdom to come and reign here on earth. We ask for his forgiveness and protection by demonstrating our own forgiveness to those who have acted against us. And we ask God for what we need. And Jesus said, if we ask, we'll receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened, because everyone who does this with faith and trust receives the benefit, receives the blessing. There really isn't much middle ground when he said that everyone who asks, everyone who seeks, and everyone who knocks will find what they're looking for. Now, we could stop there and be reassured and convinced that God answers the prayers of believers, but he goes on. In verse 11, he says, which of you fathers, if your son asked for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asked for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In other words, God's a better gift giver than we are. If we can give good gifts to our children, God can outdo us. If we listen to our kids when they ask for things, God listens to us when we ask. And just as we look at those requests from our children to see if they are requests that will be good for them, will result in making their lives better, so does God look at our requests the same way. He, though, has the advantage of knowing the end result of our request and can make the right decisions as it applies to us. Perseverance in prayer is a theme of the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. And Jesus told us in Mark chapter 11, have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he asks will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Yeah, there's that love your enemy thing again. I think we're seeing that God was really serious about that particular part of prayer. Like he's saying, I really want to give you what you're asking for, but you need to show the same love to others as I showed to you. I tell people at the shelters, and when they tell me about people that they're mad at, let it go. Maintaining anger and hurt is just letting these people maintain control over their lives. Their emotions are under the control of someone that's done something to them instead of under their own control. If you take back that control, they can't destroy your happiness. It seems simple. Like Jesus said, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. Now, after reading these scriptures, one might think that God is a blank check, and all we have to do is ask him for things. Some of us as parents have a tendency to indulge our kids, to give them things they really don't need or maybe are not really good for them, thinking it shows how much we love them. But in reality, it reflects poorly on our relationship with them. Sometimes we can look at God with the, if you love me, you'd give me, fill in the blank. But God does love us and always does what is best for us, even when he doesn't give us everything we ask for. And let's be real. More often than not, we don't get the new car, the new relationship, the bigger house, or the better paying job, our world fame and power. Well, we might not ask for that. The Apostle James wrote in his epistle at chapter 4, "You have not because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." But God does answer prayer. Sometimes it's just what you wanted. Sometimes it's so different that it seems like there's no connection to our prayer. But it always turns out for the best. In ways that we couldn't see while we were asking, God knows what we need, and He knows what's best for us. And we need to keep an open mind. And we need to persevere. And we need to keep asking, keep asking, keep asking until God provides. We need to ask and seek and knock because we will receive. We will find. And the door will be opened. Maybe not in ways we expect, but in ways that honor God and provide for our needs. A few years ago, Garth Brooks wrote a song that I've always liked. It was called Unanswered Prayers. And the chorus goes like this. "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." Now, we don't know what God has in store for us. What we're asking for may not be within His plan, it may be, but we don't know. We can only rely on the very true fact that God loves each and every one of us more than we can ever imagine in our wildest dreams. I often return in my contemplation to John 3:16, and I know that everyone here knows that verse by heart, but it speaks so completely about God's love for us when it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And in 1 John chapter 3, we read, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that's what we are. So, let us be assured. God answers prayer. He answers them when we go to our room and privately speak with Him, when we ask in faith, when we believe that we will receive what we ask for, when we have forgiven those who have sinned against us, and we ask with the right motives, when we ask in Jesus' name, and when we persevere. When we ask, seek, and knock, ask, seek, and knock, ask, that's like a round. Seek and knock. When we go to God's door in the middle of the night and say, "I need bread to feed a traveler that's come to my home." Pray and don't let go until you absolutely have to. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. You and I know people that have prayed for something for years and finally received what they were asking for. Even sometimes they were shown why their prayer wasn't answered. Mary and Martha prayed that their brother Lazarus wouldn't die. But he did. But Jesus came and told them that His death was to allow a demonstration of the power of God and raise Lazarus from the dead. Their initial prayers weren't answered. But the end result was the same. And Lazarus was alive. So let's trust God. Have faith in God. Know without a doubt that He loves us and wants the best for us. Because Believe that we will receive what we ask for in Jesus' name, and don't stop praying. Now we all know the acronyms that have come up over the past years, you know, WWJD for what would Jesus do, and FROG for fully rely on God. I have one for you today. Push. Pray until something happens. Be diligent, persevere, and believe. I've taken the liberty of making up some refrigerator magnets to remind us to pray until something happens. If you'd like to have one, they're on the table in the lobby. And stick it on there and remind you. Okay, now as our worship team comes, I'd just like to close with the reminder that God has set out the procedure for prayer. Jesus brought the teaching to us, and it's clear. Praise God. Submit to God's authority and supremacy. Tell Him what you need. Forgive those who have hurt you. And really do it. And protect us from the evil one trying to take down all Christians. And then, persevere. Pray until something happens, because something will happen. We either will receive what we ask for in God's time, or we will learn that we are asking for the wrong thing. Either way, God is reaching out to us as we reach out to Him. Father, help us understand how much You care for us, how much You love us. Lord, and help us understand that when we ask You for the things we need, and they are indeed the things we need, that You will be there for us. You will answer those prayers. And Lord, let us understand that we have to have the faith that You are listening, and the belief that You will deliver. Lord, open our hearts that we can fully accept this, that You are in control. It's not about us. But Lord, You love us so much, You want us to have the things we need. And You've shown us over and over in Your Word how to reach out to You and ask for those things. Lord, we bring our burdens to You and lay them at Your feet. Jesus carried our sins to the cross. We can persevere. We can pray until something happens. Lord, we thank You for the love You've shown us. We thank You for making us a part of Your family. And Lord, we thank You for the sacrifice of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Let's stand today as we sing our closing song.